Dearly beloved, tonight's reading is from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and the Word was... Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Asdaman.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
And I am Mealy Keith.
All alone.
Yes. She's actually going down the Amazon in either a hat box or a canoe, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. She's at her fiction writing class.
She's taking the dog to that?
No, dog's guarding construct number two.
In case he does anything.
Guarding your
snoring. Like, want to cook dinner or the like.
Yeah. Construct is backed into a corner right now.
Anyway, annoyingly irritating songs sung by a very cute alien. Besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
Duck-a-duck-a-do. Stranger Things, final season triple dating. Hold on to your egos, because the fifth and final season of Stranger Things is heading our way, spread thickly over three parts, perhaps in tribute to it being over 3 years between seasons, May and July 2022 for season four. Volume 1, with 4 episodes, drops on the 26th of November, just in time for our United States chums to be questioning their Thanksgiving leftovers. Volume 2 features 3 more episodes arriving on Christmas Day. What better way to spend Christmas than monster hunting, dimensional hopping adventure? It's got to be better than Stuck with the Family. And finally, the epic series final will premiere on New Year's Eve. Prepare for a night of fireworks, both on screen and off, as we say goodbye to our now very aged Hawking heroes. Given that the first season was released in July 2016, these 5 seasons will have spanned about 6 months short of a decade.
Blimey.
And we thought Doctor Who season gaps were getting bad.
Yes, waiting with bated breath for those.
Do you know what? Still haven't seen the whole episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you'll soon be able to catch them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Literally in some cases.
Harry Potter, yeah. TV main trio cast.
Ooh.
Recently we heard the news of various adult cast members for the upcoming HBO Harry Potter TV series. Now we have the principal cast for Harry, Hermione and Ron. And yes, they are children rather than 20 or 30-year-old somethings pretending. Literally thousands of children were seen for the roles, but the lucky three are Dominic McLaughlin as Harry Potter, Arabella Stanton as Hermione Granger, and Alistair Stout as Ron Weasley. Filming has already begun, starting on location in France of all places. Principal filming will mostly take place in the UK, however. All being well, the series is expected to last for 7 seasons, 1 per book. These kids will certainly be in for a wild ride and set for life.
Perhaps, yeah, I wish them every luck, because it's going to be the amount of observation they're going to be under.
Oh, yes, already are.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like the movies or like the book, because there are characters that were left out of the book Well, they actually were in the film, but were cut from the film, like the ghost and that kind of stuff.
I suppose it depends on how much money they decide to throw at it.
Well, a lot. I heard rumours 75 million per episode.
Ooh, blimey.
Per episode.
Per episode. This is HBO money. Yeah. And Warner Brothers. We'll see. Obviously, these three names will become probably quite familiar to us.
Household names.
In the coming years.
Yeah.
I think it could be quite good in that it will have more time to breathe, particularly the later books. Yeah. The first couple are quite short. Yeah. That's going to be a little bit hard to fill the entire season, I think, but later books are pretty thick.
Books flow with the reader.
It's difficult to invest in characters as much with a film because you just don't have that much time, do you?
Yeah. Well, you have several films with most of them, but
So J.K. Rowling is going to be crying all the way to the bank.
Well, not as if she needs any more money, is it? But one downside.
Starcoff's news.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. More audio to be heard.
Ooh.
Audiomongers in chief, Big Finish, have announced another set of Starcoff's audio plays, with this new season carrying on the collective title of Conflict. David Calder, Linda Newton, and Trevor Cooper reprising their respective roles of the International Space Police Force's finest. Namely as Nathan Spring, Pal Kenzie, Colin Davies, roles they created back in 1987. Wow, was it really the same people?
Same principal cast.
So reprising their roles.
Yep. You can get away with it on audio.
Not so much running about.
I like Trevor Cooper, Revelation of the Daleks, isn't he?
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah. Producer Emma Haig said of this,
"I'm always thrilled to see a new Starcoff script arrive in my inbox, and these new stories brought just as much excitement as ever. In these six fresh stories, the Starcoffs are tested to their limits, both physically and mentally, with huge professional and personal conflicts, against the backdrop of a global crisis. Andrew Smith and our team of writers, Roland Moore, Mark Wright and Georgia Cook, take us on a journey for which it's worth flying to the moon and back."
As is increasingly the case with new Big Finish releases, mainline Doctor aside for now, these will only be available as downloads.
Oh, no.
They can be pre-ordered now individually or as a six-story bundle, with the first to be released in February 2026, roughly a year before the original BBC TV series is actually set.
Yeah,
that's worrying.
Set 40 years in the future in 2027.
Oh, dear.
We haven't quite got there, but I thought the most fantastical bit of it was Box. And actually, that's coming true.
Yeah.
More than all the space stuff is.
The moon bases and mad satellite. Yeah.
Peter David.
Dead.
Blimey. Peter Allen David, writer of comics and sci-fi, has been rubbed out, aged 68. Known to many for his legendary 11-year Hulk run, turning the Green Giant from a monosyllabic grump into a nuanced multi-personality sensation, he went from slinging comics in Marvel's sales department, probably trying to upset everyone on extra-large Hulk fist for ravaging those nether regions, to actually writing them. And it wasn't just Hulk. David also sprinkled his wordy magic on the likes of Spider-Man and Aquaman. In sci-fi, he is particularly known for his multitude of Star Trek novels, especially his original series New Frontier. You know, I did like reading that. Mm. His television work includes being a rare non-JMS writer on Babylon 5, and also for the likes of Young Justice, Ben 10, Alien Force, and he co-created Nickelodeon Space Cases with Bill Mooney. Known for his pucky humour and plots that could stretch longer than Mr. Fantastic, Peter David wasn't afraid to stir the pot, even in his own industry columns. Apparently his employers had a good sense of humour about his forthright opinions. Going back to what I was saying, I mean, I did enjoy the New Frontier series.
I've read most of those.
USS Excalibur.
Whole new ship and crew, mostly new crew.
Mostly new crew, but also pulled a lot of characters from next-gen canon.
Right.
Lieutenant Shelby. She was one.
Shelby.
She was the girlfriend of Captain Mackenzie Calhoun. Yes.
Oh, was that loud?
Had no idea the Hulk wrote for Babylon 5.
Yes. Big scrawly letters.
Yep.
Yeah.
And crayon.
This is price, that is.
Yeah, he's been unwell for many years, had various health problems, stroke, diabetes, kidney problems. I think a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, a lot of GoFundMes over the years to try to help his medical bills, which, obviously, being American, are pretty high.
Yes.
Any addendums?
I have a couple addendums. Keeping with those audio mongers, Big Finish.
Oh, yes. What are they up to now?
We have the first release of Smith and Sullivan New Cases.
Okay, as in Sarah Jane Smith as and in Harry Sullivan.
Yeah, Sarah Jane Smith, played by Sadie Miller, and Harry Sullivan, as played by Christopher Naylor.
Yeah.
First story details of Reunited, which is apparently for sale in July 2025. So, yeah.
Released when? Sometime after that, presumably. Because they do tend to announce these things many months ahead.
Yeah, it's a three-episode box set. Is available in pre-order as a digital download to own for just $19.99.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed no later than the 30th of September.
Oh, okay. That's pretty quick for their pre-orders.
Yeah.
But again, download only.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the way it's going, unfortunately.
Aye, that it is.
Physical media.
So you can burn it off onto various copies or save it into as many discs as you can find.
I've got a pretty good NAS, but yeah, I probably should back it up more often.
Yep. I also have a little addendum here that Joe McHale was recently at the ATX TV festival.
Right.
And to which he was asked the question, when can we expect the Community movie?
The forever in development hell.
Production hell, yes.
Well, his response is, the Community movie is now called Scream 7 and we can see it in February.
Okay.
But he has said that the creative team has secured the necessary funding and the next step will be to schedule it.
Okay. Well, so
it does look like it's sort of heading in a right-ish direction.
Yeah. It might have to be scheduled quite a way in the future.
Yeah.
A lot of the cast are quite busy, so getting them all together at the same time.
He has said, we are just trying to help Donald Glover's career. I'm an hour addendumed out.
Thus endeth the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been sitting, gathering around the boob tube.
Ooh. Or the idiot's box.
Or even the idiot box.
Idiot's lantern.
And the big screen.
Big screen. Or enormous screen in some cases.
Huge.
And we have been watching things.
Yes.
We have been watching Doctor Who. Pause for music.
Did you say Dagger Do?
No.
No Dagadoo in the finale, sadly.
I was thinking of going to the cinema to go to watch it.
Yep.
But my arse couldn't get into gear, so I watched it at home.
Specifically, we have been watching
Wishworld.
That's it, Wishworld and Reality War.
The Reality War. And there's little boy splitting these up as we normally would, because I think it's just one big long story,
does,
really.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
One literally dovetails into the other.
Yeah. Let's just say for the Reality War, myself and Fake Crumbly were out on Saturday night, so trying to avoid social media until Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
we've done that actually.
It made the news.
Yeah. One of the local pubs in Crawley, they have it on every night, and that's where we went. So,
all right.
Yeah, it's that popular in the pub.
Okay.
So, Wishworld.
Yes.
Yes.
We wake up to find the Doctor and Belinda in bed together. Woohoo! Hey!
Fnarf.
That's how, going on it?
That's how cold open.
Yeah.
Wake you all up, something's not right. And they have a baby. Poppy.
Yes, Poppy.
Baby Poppy.
Poppy popped out.
Yeah.
And everything's right with the world because it's very, very pretty and pink and 1960s.
It's 1950s. 50s. Yeah.
It's too right.
It's too right. And mugs fall through tables.
Yes. It's Terry and June. That's what put me.
Turned up to 11.
Yeah. I quite like the doctor's outfit, though, with the bowler and
the
everything.
Pin, yeah,
that's more very doctor-y.
Blue pinstripe. Yeah.
Definitely Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a lot of people were making reference to American TV series that has the
Mad Men?
No.
Family Guy?
No. The
MASH.
You know, from Infinity War.
Oh,
WandaVision.
Yeah, WandaVision. Yeah.
A lot of people have been making reference to I haven't seen WandaVision, so
I have seen
sure.
WandaVision, and that didn't occur to me.
Didn't occur to me either, but I can see where they're going with it.
I thought it was similar to the Maestro episode in Series 1 with the bowler hat on top of it.
Yeah, it is a similar sort pins, of outfit.
Blue sort of pinstriped.
Yeah. It's Conrad's world, apparently.
Yes. He's narrating everything for the city, telling a story.
Jack and Ori from the story of Doctor Who.
Yes, always referring to Doctor Who.
Yes.
It's not very clear why he's giving the story of Doctor Who to the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't help his reality at all, does it?
Well, that was the point.
Yeah.
He was trying to break reality.
No, they had set up this reality.
Yes.
When the reality breaks down, it falls through to the underworld, or the underverse, or the upside down, or whatever we're going to call it. The wish world, this reality, has been set up to deliberately fail.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so they make him forget who he is, and then try and make him doubt who he is.
Because it resets at the end of each day.
Trying to contact directly through to the doctor's subconscious to make him doubt what was going on.
It wasn't very targeted in that respect, was it?
That's the whole point. It's not meant to be. Yeah, it's not meant to be specifically. He's not. You are not meant to have a specific doubt. It's meant to creep in slowly, cautiously. You know, they needed it to build.
It's still a bit weird. Okay, fair enough. We also obviously had the flashback, I suppose, of the Rani taking the baby.
Yes.
At the beginning. That's
very interesting. I could be mistaken. I'm more than happy to admit that I've been mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
According to tradition, superstition, the seventh child.
Or the seventh child.
The seventh child has second sight, can see things that aren't. The seventh child of the seventh child will be a very powerful witch or wizard.
Right.
The seventh child of the seventh child of the seventh child is a sorcerer, is a source of magic.
According to tradition.
Yeah.
So hence why that child can make the wishes come true.
One thing that struck me was when the Dr. John Smith steps outside the house and you see the giant bone beast wandering around.
The dinosaurs,
for want of a better term.
Yes.
And the thing was, I mean, the Rani's castle as well, the skeletal castle.
Yeah, the bone palace.
I just thought, what the beep is that? The thing was, he was looking at it and sort of he was appreciating it for its beauty.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I mean, it was so grotesque. It reminded me of a scene in the Babylon 5 movie Third Space.
Oh, yeah.
Where Sheridan is in Third Space and he sees Vera admiring sort of this grotesque structure in Third Space, saying how beautiful it is when obviously to an outsider viewer it is something sort of horrible.
Yeah, definitely doesn't belong because he comes out of the house to go to work and Mel's his next door neighbour.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's. Did you notice everyone's literally just tipping broken cups into their bins?
Did you notice the name on the bins?
No.
Each of the bins had slip written on them.
Oh, right. They're slip bins. Okay. Yeah.
Because it's a slip through the reality.
Yeah.
I like the fact that when he gets to work, she's wearing tweed. He's still working at UNIT.
Yeah.
And it's still UNIT, but it's just an insurance company, which UNIT is really.
Yeah. And also the Big Brother style posters of Conrad everywhere.
Yeah. Right?
This
world was very much divided into sort of haves and have nots.
Mm. Well, this is it. This is again back to Conrad's view of the world.
Yeah.
Everyone knowing their place is what they should be, and no arguments with that. And anyone who doesn't fit into his world view of what a person should be, they can't be seen. They're forgotten.
He's not imaginative enough to imagine sort of the grey area between people. Mm.
All the homeless and dispossessed and disabled people. It reminded me of London Below.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. But they don't fit into his worldview.
Oh, good grief.
Everyone is perfect.
Yeah.
At least they exist.
Yeah.
Which Rose.
Rose is just too far. He can't comprehend.
Yeah,
well,
that's next episode. But
that's next episode.
I quite enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's a really good first episode.
It was a good episode. It's quirky because you jumped into it while it was happening, so to speak. It throws your mind a bit because it isn't the Doctor, it's John Smith, and you can see what's going on. So there were bits of it I was kind of like, but I liked the setup. I like the fact that, you know, he finds out it's Omega and it's from there on afterwards.
I'd like the idea that everyone is slowly doubting, but they can't admit it. I did think the countryside and forest was very close to the town.
Yeah,
yeah, quite a long way. Yeah.
But you need a sort of small personal area just to vent your frustrations.
Yeah,
because Belinda's doubt is quite, uncomfortable,
isn't it? When she can't remember the baby's birth and that kind of thing you would remember. Well,
just Poppy as she remembers.
And I did like Rogue's little appearance. A table doesn't do that.
Yeah, tables don't do that. And he said that wherever Rogue was, that the whole reality was collapsing there. So the assumption is now that Shooty's not going to be around, is that it for that storyline? Is Rogue never coming back now?
I was half expecting him to show up in the finale. The underworld they were going to might be where he is.
Yeah. Because they seem to like their cameos this season, don't they? This series.
Yeah, a lot.
We've been trailed with Susan recently.
And the fugitive doctor.
We'll see. Next episode, even more important cameo.
I did like with the Rogue thing. I did see that on the behind the scenes thing that he filmed that little bit of Tables Not a Table at the end of filming Rogue.
Oh, really?
So he was still in cotton and they green screened him while he's there. And he's saying these lines. Not having a clue what the, you've just done this thing. You've gone to, and suddenly you've got to stand there and go, a table doesn't do that. What the hell am I doing?
Well, that's not the first time something like that's happened.
It will make sense when we put it in later.
So it shows that it was planned and ahead.
Yeah, I got the feeling he just shot it in his bedroom or something. I don't know whether it's a green screen. But, yeah, okay.
And then the United Nations insurance team, they then spot Flash Unified Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that the soldier, is it...
Ibrahim.
And Kate, he's still got the hots for Kate. Yeah. And Kate still kind of has the hots for him.
Yeah. Can't
and she's
admit
a
it.
Bitch.
Oh, good grief.
She is rich, She's even more strict than she is at UNIT.
This is it. I would assume she's a single woman. And
that was brought up in the episode,
As we saw with Mel, of an age, single woman, so you just sit there in quiet contemplation of what you've obviously done wrong with your life.
But then in the next episode, she said she was a housewife.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the reality's moving around a bit.
Yeah.
And that kind of does fit in with Conrad's darker misogynist side.
Yes.
Of a woman's role is...
completely,
It did my little heart a little modicum of joy to see this Seal of Rassilon again. I thought that would have all been washed away, but...
And Mrs. Flood is still very subservient to the Rani, isn't she? She hasn't really changed.
It's subservient, yes, but with undertones of mutiny going on there.
She says the line to her, oh, you kind of sprung from my loins, and Rani is disgusted with that. I like the bit where they're both out on the balcony. You have no idea what the Rani's doing with her solids.
Yes,
she's just setting up these little things, because I thought they looked quite gooey and creepy, but apparently they're explosive charges of some sort.
As we find out.
At the end of the episode, when they blow up the bit that the Doctor's standing and he falls to his death.
Indeed. And in between reading a story to the city, Conrad's babysitting.
Yes.
The wish baby.
Well, he has to be in the room because Conrad's creating the world and reading the world.
Yes.
And the child is the one that's making that into a reality.
He says he doesn't cry, he doesn't do anything except laugh.
Except for laugh. Yeah.
And we also find out there's a threshold around the Bone Castle as well.
Yes, there seems to be some form of force field or threshold.
Yes.
I suppose so that they know what real reality is and are affected by the wish.
Yeah, they're immune to what's happening outside.
Yeah.
And that's why the soldiers are all androids and mechanical inside.
They seem to be the same ones from
the Eurovision
Interstellar Song Contest.
I don't know why that would be. I suppose she could have taken a few back with her.
Because she was there, wasn't she?
Oh, maybe that's where the Interstellar Song Contest got them from.
What came first?
But eventually, John Smith admits to Belinda that he kind of really liked the guy on the telly. And
that sparks her to call the authorities.
We have the multiple mug smashing on the table.
Simultaneously.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Nice effect, too.
Just slipping through. Because until that point, we'd never seen them. We only heard a smash and the camera cut that had been broken on the floor. Yeah. That was the first time we saw them slip through the table.
Yeah. And everybody has kitchen cupboards full of orange mugs.
Yeah.
Yellow, whatever, yes.
I thought of
IKEA
your mugs.
Doing a fight in the trade.
Yeah. I thought of all your crockery.
I've got
yellow.
A lot of yellow ones, yeah.
Yeah.
The point where she phones in that he's becoming a doubter and they come and arrest him and then arrest her is very 1984.
Yeah.
That ties in with that Big Brother watching you. Yeah. It really is that turning the family on.
Or an East German Stasi.
Yeah, against themselves.
And I do have to give a little shout out at that point to Anita Dobson because Mrs. Flood enjoyed that so much.
Yeah, she was vicious in
that scene. Senior police.
Yeah, but in the police uniform and take so much relish in taking in Belinda.
Yeah.
It's my job to cut it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the feeling she's really enjoyed the part.
Yeah.
And all the while, Ruby is realising things are wrong a bit more than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of apparently having lived through this
73
yards this year.
And she'll do it in both episodes, both parts of the story, won't she? She'll do it in the next one as well.
So she's a bit like Amy, she's got some extra special knowledge or memories or something.
Yeah, she recognises the Doctor when the Doctor didn't even recognise himself.
Yes.
Didn't know specifics, but knew
she knows
generally.
He's not who he says
not,
he is.
He's not John Smith.
He is John Smith, but he's not John Smith.
Yeah. She's part of the wish world, sort of, because she goes to avoid the homeless, doesn't she?
Yes.
But then she turns around with a vague memory and asks, oh, have we met?
Yeah.
And then calls her by her name.
Yeah.
Shirley.
I thought this one was a really good setup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Wish World. I thought it was interesting. It was a bits of it where I'm sitting there going, okay, let's hope that's answered in the next one. But it's a two-party. You don't expect it to be. And I thought it ended quite nicely on not so much a cliffhanger as a cliff drop.
Yeah.
See, I would say part one is all set up, but that's distracting. It's a good setup.
Yes.
It is. Oh, yeah.
It's intriguing.
I did enjoy the Rani sort of baiting the Doctor when he finally arrived, going, oh, do you remember me now? And he's having little flashbacks, and one of them is Dimensions in Time.
Yes.
It's now canon. Now canon.
I have to admit, if you compare this to Lucky Day, both of which are kind of like setup stories.
Yeah.
I much prefer this to Lucky Day. This had, to me, more story.
And more mystery as well, because you kind of unravel it in your
head.
But
having said that, would it have been as enjoyable without Lucky Day? Because without Lucky Day, you don't know who the character of Conrad is.
But just in terms of the actual, the construction of a story, this one was more interesting than the Lucky Day one.
Yeah. I don't think this Conrad's anything like the other Conrad, though. The other Conrad, you really hated him on a very visceral level.
Oh, good grief, Phil.
But this one, he's pretty bland. Okay,
There's moments where he says something and you kind of remember that you hate him, but for the most part, he's just a storyteller.
Don't know much the Varney's done to him because she has got a history of manipulating humans.
Hmm.
And I don't mean just sort of like, you know, emotionally manipulating.
Oh, really?
she mucks about with their genes kind of stuff.
She took his genes off.
Well, no. it just reminded me of the beginning bit. In Mark of the Rani, she had the minds to turn people into trees.
Yeah.
And I did love the slight coincidence that the mother of the wish child got turned into petals. Flowers.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was a nice little...
Her name was Violet or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Horticulture side.
But Conrad in this one comes over more childlike to my mind.
Yes.
But it depends how impotent he is, how much of his authority has been removed, his emphasis.
And I suppose in the way he's been given what he wants, although he's been given the world he wants, but he's not living in it.
Yeah. But he's been given the importance of controlling it, creating it.
Yeah, and he seems rather nervous around the Rani and the baby. He sort of knows he's not the most important.
Actually, a very salient point that's just come to mind is, in a way, Conrad has taken on the role of Omega. because this world is only in existence due to his will.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But so.
Myself and Fake Crumbly watched The Three Doctors and...
oh, right, yeah.
Oh, I like Oh, my God!
What is this?
And also the fact that the cliffhanger, when you have the reveal that they're going after Omega, you hear his voice that it's been taken from Big Finishes.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good build-up to the cliffhanger where you've got multiple different areas and multiple different characters and you're cutting quickly between the scenes and then you see sort of the whole street fold on Melanie like the
landing pad coming down. Yes.
That's on, it, unit on, collapsing on and the shard.
Yeah. Yeah. Avengers Tower. Yeah.
Quite powerful. Yeah. So I was looking forward to seeing that in the cinema, to be honest.
That was one of the things I did, because as he's falling, the world is already breaking up.
Yes. Yeah.
But then in the second part, it isn't.
Yeah, because it resets at midnight.
Yeah. It resets, yeah. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you notice the taxi falling?
Yes.
That taxi that you see.
Same one from the...
Yeah, the same one. Well, yeah,
a London, a black London cab.
Yeah, same CG model.
Probably, yeah.
Which, yes, takes us on to part two, which
exactly.
is... Doctor's an epic.
Yeah.
Before we launch into part two, let's just say somebody sort of in this room makes a cameo appearance in it.
Does.
Yes. Yes. Part two he does, yes.
What, the Stormtrooper?
Sandy.
Could you imagine if Omega was Doug a Doo?
I'm sure it could be done on YouTube.
They should have done a bit with Nita opening the door to Doug a Doo, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
After three. One, two, three.
Hello, Heather Pertwee.
Hello, we'll Inky McSquirt a lot. Hello, Dinky McSquirt.
Okay, Graham, Dangerous Churchill.
Oh, you don't have Terrence. A Dagadoo.
No. No Dagadoo yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. I'm sure there will be one.
Wait until we get hit a con. There'll be one at a con, I can guarantee it. I'm waiting for someone to cosplay Dagadoo.
You're going to bring them home?
Well, they had the Bernie Clifton ostrich.
Oh, yes.
So they could do it that way. Yeah. But anyway, part two, the reality. Wah.
Yes.
Mm. So just before the balcony swallowed up, a magical doorway appears.
A magic door, and Rani calls it magic door.
Yeah. And Anita, in true 10th Doctor style, holds out her hand and drags the Doctor through. And all of a sudden, he's in the Time Hotel from the Christmas episode.
Victory snatched from the jaws of defeat.
Yeah.
And he starts to remember, properly remember who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now he's not subject to the weird wish world.
And also, the Time Hotel is having trouble.
Yes.
Because it's in the future, isn't it?
It's in the future, and the Earth's no longer there. So
it both exists and doesn't exist.
It's Schrodinger's hotel.
Yeah. And Anita explains, because she's worked it all out, hasn't she?
She's the manager now. That's she's got the manager badge on.
She's pregnant. Got the key to all the doors.
She's sleeping with the HR manager, apparently, or something.
Like that.
And she's got one in the oven.
Only because she saw the Doctor and Rogue having a very nice dance.
But she tells us it's not the end of reality just yet. It's slowly chipping away by using a reset button and constantly
making it thinner and thinner and thinner.
The gap between this world and Omega's.
Yes. And so she's been looking for the Doctor in various places that we recognise. Mm-hmm. So she sees the 11th Doctor playing chess.
Yep. Indeed, yeah.
And then she sees John Pertwee being tortured by the Daleks.
She's the only Daleks we see in these two seasons. Yeah.
Indeed. They make just a quick cameo. And
was that Day of the Daleks?
Day of the Daleks.
Yeah, and they actually filmed a new bit of Dalek just for the foreground.
They
to
did,
go in front of the picture.
Was it the Blu-ray version or the original version?
It was the Blu-ray soundtrack, but they had shot a new Dalek and put in to take the emphasis off of the change in video.
When you had the mind scan up on the big screen, you originally just had pictures. Mm. When they had the Blu-ray version, it was footage.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, okay.
This is what I mean. So was it the Blu-ray version we saw or the original version we
saw?
I
wasn't paying much attention to that bit of it.
No.
I think
it was the Blu-ray version. I think it was actual footage.
Yeah, probably. The pitch quality looked pretty bad on the big screen.
I see the pixels.
It's older.
I haven't gone back to rewatch it, so I can't swear to it, but I seem to remember thinking at the time it's the Blu-ray version.
Mm. Yeah, it could be.
You see, I did pay attention. Nerny, nerny, nerny.
I can't say I would have noticed.
But Anita uses her key to break into UNIT several times over, creating a time draft. I don't know how else to explain it.
Let real time flow through.
Yeah, that one was a bit Yeah.
Yeah. She's got multiple doors she can open. Yeah. She can open them anywhere.
That wasn't that. It was the fact that just holding the door open suddenly meant everyone in that room remembers to do that.
Draft.
Yeah. It's a time draft.
It's leakage. Leakage from outside. So
there was a lot of leakage in this story. Yeah. Some of it was plot.
Ooh. I think you're being unduly harsh there.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, it does mean that poor Anita does basically nothing for this story. She's holding doors.
Holding doors. Yeah. Yeah.
Hodor, the opposite, I suppose.
I really hope they do more with her after bringing her back, because everyone sort of really fell in love with her during the Christmas episode.
Yeah,
so that's the reason why they brought her back.
Yeah.
And she had some great lines, though, didn't she? Yeah. She was casual about the whole thing. End of the world, she's like, oh, I'm just a hotelier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hospitality.
You've been there, done that.
Doctor goes back into his own house.
Yes.
Where his missus has already called the police on him once.
They both appear
and
in
Poppy's
room.
And I like the fact he actually does the costume change. And I think that's the point at which, to indicate he knows he's not Mr. Smith. He knows he's the doctor.
He's a doctor.
As he literally in one moment goes from the suit to the kilt suit.
He drops the jacket and then you get another shot and he's already in his kilt-like outfit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The personality is now dominating him.
Yeah.
He's now the doctor again. He's not.
Yeah, and he goes to Blinder and... What are you wearing?
This is it. He's now outside the wish.
Yes.
Yeah. What did he say? He's wearing the future.
Yes. She says that to UNIT, to Kate, I think. I love the music cues they did for that, when he's back as the Doctor in his costume and everything.
Yeah, and you hear his tune come on.
Sort of a version of his theme. Yeah, it's really quite a bit of it in this. Yeah. As you'd expect, given it's his last one.
Yes.
Spoilers.
So he announces to UNIT that he's got a daughter.
Yes. Mm. And by this point, UNIT is back to being proper UNIT.
Yeah, they've recalled the
bio. Kate's got out of the tweeds.
Yeah. She's had them all microchipped, doesn't she? Like pets.
Yeah.
So she knows that's a bit of a weird concept.
Yeah
it doesn't. Going too far.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit the reality.
Just as Melanie shows up on her bike, so does the Rani.
And the scooter, to meet the Rani. And if you put down some of the Rani, didn't even think about you once.
Rani describes humanity as cattle.
Yes.
Flattering as ever, which technically does fit her her modus operandi.
Mind you, she's not the first person to also make the comment to the Doctor that he must think of them as pets, not as assistants.
Yeah.
And in some ways, he's made that reference once with Rose, in that you can spend all your life with me, but I can't spend all my life with it.
Yeah.
It's like a cat or a dog.
Yeah.
It can spend its whole life with you, but you can't spend your whole life with it.
Yeah. And she doesn't try to kill him. She doesn't want to kill anyone. She just wants
him to kill the Doctor.
Back down and let her carry on. Yeah. And
the only time she's been out to kill the Doctor is because it's easier than negotiating or talking. You know, she would rather he's just stepped back.
Happy
and let
to
her
turn him
it.
Into a tree.
Yeah, she's not. It's not like the Master, whose whole raison d'etre seems to be, how do I kill the Doctor but not actually kill him? She would kill him. But only because she has to, as you say, because it's easier than just having a chat or what have you. It's nothing personal.
Well, I mean, that's it.
You
She would rather bargain with him than kill him.
Well, yeah.
And of course, the whole thing that they're now infertile due to the Time War.
Well, I think it was a Master who must have done that.
So I'm not sure whereabouts that fits into the scheme of things, whether that's because of the thing that got detonated on Gallifrey to wipe out all the Master side. Cybermen, or what?
Rather
garbled. I'm not necessarily sure it's to do with the Time War.
Yeah, I think it's after the Time War. Yeah. I think it's all okay after the Time War.
It does feel like it's after.
Today, the Doctor. Then the Master, I think, did this genetic bomb.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice for the old fans that it kind of fits the new adventure style of the looms a bit, so you can kind of put it in there.
It does.
But in a nutshell, all the Time Lords are firing blanks.
But of course, there were literally billions of children on Gallifrey during the Time War.
Count.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 2 billion or something, wasn't it? So there are a lot of children on Gallifrey at that point. Clearly, they were quite busy.
It's a vague, nebulous thing that we might have to come back to later.
Yeah,
it's maybe the UNIT dating conundrum all over
again.
It is.
Because
she does mention...
70s.
Yeah, that her father met Omega and fought Omega in the 70s.
Yes. Mm. Beyond the UNIT dating thing now. Yeah. It's accepted that it is when it was broadcast.
Yeah.
Not vaguely in the future anymore.
No, that's it. It could have been 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Anyway.
Yeah, so the Rani's plan is just to recreate Gallifrey. Crime Lords.
Is to bring back what was classed as the first Time Lord to help recreate Gallifrey.
Yes.
Yes, he's got a genetic imprint, hasn't he? So he'll be presumably not sterile.
Yeah, he was out of the universe at the time of the genetic bomb.
Yes.
But then the Rani herself said she changed her DNA briefly to sidestep the bomb, didn't she?
So, okay, mind working. So presumably her and Omega?
I don't know. So presumably she isn't sterile. Yeah. And if she needs a source of DNA, then she's got it in herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the only true clone you can make is a female clone, because you've got the egg and the genetics that can fertilise it from a woman. Mm. If she's the surviving Time Lord, she can make as many female Time Lords, and then presumably they can regenerate into men if they want,
so she's...
who wouldn't be fertile, but they would be pure clones.
So she's just going to milk Omega and chuck him back in?
I don't know. Because she said even a dead body would be still good enough. It'd still have genetics.
Yeah. Still got the DNA. No.
But I'm wondering how much she knows what happened to Omega.
I assume she knows nothing about anything. Because three doctors.
Because it's only the doctor that knows what's happened to Omega.
But there again, what she wants to get it on with Omega when sort of when he finally makes his appearance.
Well, we get to that.
Again, another little shout out. I love the fact that we had the seal of Omega.
Yeah, I like that too. Yes. Like in Ark of Infinity on his chest.
Yeah, I mean, it was never mentioned on screen, but fan connivance has got the central...
She does mention it.
Originally, in Ark of Infinity, was never mentioned on screen, but you had that central boss on his chest. Yeah.
So how does Omega's timeline work? We had the three doctors.
Yes.
He wasn't alive in the
alive. He was just a construct, a thought.
Yeah, a thought.
And then how did he arrive in Ark of Infinity?
Well, they used the doctor's bio data so he could map himself onto it and create himself a body.
So through the Matrix, he'd contacted Heading.
Ah, okay. So he was just the memories of Omega in the Matrix creating a body. Okay.
I liked the beginning of this one. And then I could kind of feel when they'd realised that Chuti was going to be leaving. It almost felt like there was a shift at one point. I hated Omega.
I can't say I was particularly impressed with what they did with him.
I really hated what they'd done to him. I like Omega. I think he's wonderful. Yeah. But part of me is thinking, why did they have to make him this kind of like giant bony monster? This is another giant monster. We've got Sutek again. It would have been so much more impressive to my mind if he'd come out, even if he'd just come out as energy or something. But it just came out as this like dusty, overgrown mummy, and it didn't match him with Omega at all to me. I really didn't like how they portrayed him as he came out.
Could have gone down that the sort of deadly assassin master route where, you know, if it's going to be skeletal, it could be something like that.
And especially seems how it's been established in the three doctors, he had such a strong sense of self that he had created a whole planet and a whole body based upon just his sense of self. Yeah. He's now gone into an underverse where he's got so much more at his disposal to create what he wants. And he suddenly decides to turn into a skeletal, dusty, mummified monster. Yeah. And no matter how corrupt he's got, he would still have that sense of self. He's always been corrupt, so to speak.
And eating and feasting on other time doesn't quite fit Omega either.
Yeah, and he's dispatched very quickly.
I didn't get that.
Really?
To my mind, we've got multiple things going on here. You also have side effects of the wish. So none of this could have been real. None of this could have been Omega.
Mm.
Plus, he, as we've last seen, was completely insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have also the memory or the recognition there of this is now the time of gods.
Mm-hmm.
So what better thing? What's the line? I shouldn't be a hero. I should be a god.
Mm. Okay.
That's right. From three doctors. Yeah.
Well, the thing was, mate, the Omega in that episode was very much a megalomaniac anyway.
Exactly. What is better for a megalomaniac to be an imperial scientist or a god that can control reality?
Well, being elevated to godhood.
Yeah. Certainly didn't look like a god. He looked like a dusty, musty old thing that crawled out of a cupboard.
Yeah. I had hoped I don't know how they would have done it in the story, but you would have been more like the Omega we knew.
Yeah.
Human scale.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have worked in the story.
Really. Well, I know it sounds daft, but even if they'd made him not look like a dusty mummy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like clean bones like the bone monsters or anything like that. It was unsubstantial, and it was almost like a cloth moth. When you hear cloth moth, it evaporates into nothing because all it was dust.
Well, as I say, you might claim that he's a god of time, but he was a god of vengeance. Yeah. What more do you expect of a vengeful god to look like?
Yeah.
Part of me was
exactly like that. Yeah.
Part of me was wondering how much of it would have been done for the cinematic experience at the cinema, whether that was a factor that played into it, whether they just went for that sort of large scale.
Certainly, this feels like the Disney money.
Yeah.
And perhaps we'd better off without Disney money sometimes.
See, I don't mind the largesse of the scale. I think it's how he looked. So I don't mind the scale or anything else. It just, if you'd show me a picture and said, that's Omega, I'd have sat there going, no, that ain't. Even though how corrupt, there was nothing there in that creature that looked, resembled, spoke like, behaved like in any way, except for the fact that someone said that's Omega.
It's much the same as Sutek, really. Sutek with less so.
At least Sutek looked like Sutek.
Kind of, but then...
Without the hand coming out the chair.
Yeah, without closer. I was probably hoping for something which never could happen, but I wanted some kind of acknowledgement in there that Omega isn't really the first of the Time Lords. It's the Doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some kind of reference to the other, the three of them. Okay, it's unlikely at this point.
Yeah.
But the fact that we now know about the Timeless Child, it would have been nice for something like that to be acknowledged, particularly given we do get that cameo.
That would have been nice, but there again, you're talking about how much was that general knowledge? Would the Rani have known that?
Rani wouldn't have known that. Exactly. I think that would have been interesting for the Rani. She was trying to rebuild the Time Lords, and then all along she's been standing next to the original
Time Lord. Would have been quite good if Omega had told her that, but I'm not first.
On the basis of that, the fact that he isn't a Time Lord.
Well, he is a Time Lord, he's not Gallifreyan.
Yeah, he's not Gallifreyan. Means he may not actually be sterile, because what's affected them may not actually affect him.
Well, yes, possibly.
Because all he's given them is the regeneration side of things, but his DNA is going to be something, unless it turns out he is a Gallifreyan and went backwards in timeline experiments, etc., etc. But
yeah, I would like a Seventh Doctor sort of ending where the force of the Doctor's will was enough to force Omega back. Omega's recognition of, the Doctor is actually the Timeless Child. You are one of the three of us who created Time Lord Society.
And
maybe that somehow broke his mind and forced him back. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't have been cinematic enough, but...
but, instead it was the Vindicator, wasn't
instead
it?
Instead it's just the Doctor pulled this big gun off the wall and blasted him back like a Ghostbuster.
What's it called again?
The Vindicator.
I mean, that
Vindicator.
Always, Vindicator. For some reason, that always reminded me of a Gibson Flying V.
It was basically a guitar.
Because, of course, Mrs. Flood leads him to it. She scarpers with a time ring.
She picks up the time ring. Yeah, it's the end of the Marnie. Well, and it's good night from her, and it's good night for one of us at least. Boom, I'm out
so
of
much
here.
For the two Rani's. Yeah.
So you still have a
Marnie. Question, can that one regenerate now?
Don't know. Presumably. Do they get half the regenerations left each?
I don't know.
Obviously, it's different for the Doctor, because she has got unlimited regenerations, potentially.
Meanwhile, Ruby has gone to see Conrad, stolen the baby, and undone the wish.
Yep.
And reality.
Well, got rid of him.
Yeah.
Wished him a better life, which fairly generous of her, I thought.
Yeah.
And then she ends up in the TARDIS for Snoke's well-explained reason.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
And then the Doctor is the one that stops the wish in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
He says no more wishes.
Well, that's what
kisses the baby.
To my mind, that's what the Bone Palace was.
I don't know. His TARDIS was certainly
there. His TARDIS was in there, but his TARDIS wasn't the Bone Palace. The Bone Palace decayed around it, possibly.
No.
You think it's built from the TARDIS?
I think the Bone Palace was formed from the TARDIS. It's
just didn't know where the door was.
Yeah, an extension protocols.
Yeah,
yeah, perhaps.
And it had its own threshold.
Yeah, the threshold of the TARDIS had been extended into the Bone Palace. The Bone Palace was, in effect, the chameleon circuit, the outer plasmic shell.
That could explain that shield that they couldn't get through.
Yeah, that's why you had the shield, which was keeping it within its own little time frame. Mm. Yeah. So outside couldn't go any further than May the 24th, while inside continued.
And the threshold was broken when the Doctor went through Flash Gordon style on the mic.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is just before Omega turned up. So if Wishworld was coming through and that wasn't Omega, then that does all track. Yeah. If you want it. Then we get another quarter of an hour of what happened to Poppy.
Yeah.
I know.
That is the only bit that dragged for me.
Yeah.
That just seemed too long.
It
struck me more of Lord of the Rings Babylon 5 episodes. It's
the
end.
First season
It's the end. But here's another ending.
Yeah.
And another ending. And this is the end.
Because they actually mention in Ruby's first episode that they do the same thing, don't they? Ruby disappears, the Doctor has to go back and save her. Mm. And I can remember when I first watched that, I was actually checking my phone at that, because in that episode it felt like it had been tagged on.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't remember it at all until I watched it again. And that was, I mean, I didn't get my phone out in the cinema, but I was just like, no one's picking up on what Ruby's saying about the baby. Yeah. But I did think that the scene where they're folding up
that
the coat.
That was good.
That was good. And it turns into just a piece of material and then it just appears.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, there's like a hand there from Shooty, or maybe it is a camera trick or something, I don't know, but it just goes from his hand. It's very good.
And the baby disappears and then the cot disappears.
But it does make the whole Zero Room thing a bit redundant.
It does, but Susan Twist needed something to do. She was
that is true. Yeah, I didn't know she was a tech.
Yeah.
I bet she was her front, as Susan Triad was, as a tech.
Yeah,
tech bro or sis or whatever.
And the whole, I've got to get home to look after Poppy. Yeah. Now, when she was kidnapped, wasn't she Student Diggs?
Time has shuffled
but that means from the point at which she was abducted, this became reality.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because she was abducted from Student Diggs, but then apparently she's trying to get home. So she's been given a memory from the future to come into her head there, to always be going home for 7:30.
Timey-wimey.
Mm, yeah, as was said in the...
The CIA memo, a motto. The story may change, but the ending stays the same.
Mm. No, this one, the ending changed as the story.
No, no, it didn't. She still had to get home.
For seven, yeah.
So
yeah.
That is still the same.
I quite like the way they showed us flashbacks that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Talking about Poppy and...
Bits we didn't see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How are we supposed to put the clues together if you're not actually showing us the clues?
It's like one of those cliffhangers where they stick in an extra scene.
Yeah.
It's not Agatha Christie.
No, Agatha Christie did show you everything.
No, they don't. Agatha Christie, Christie I've seen has always missed a vital clue.
Oh, really?
Unless you get to the sum up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's not right.
No, it's not good. That's why I don't like Agatha Christie stories.
So even though he doesn't have any idea who Poppy is, the Doctor announces he's going to save her.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a life.
Yeah.
It's the same with Wilf or any other.
It's not just a life, it's in a way his daughter.
Yeah. Potentially his daughter.
In a way it still is, but isn't at the end.
It did.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in the regeneration as it did seem to come from left field.
Oh, it did come from left field.
Yeah. It didn't even realise it's going to happen until he said, I like this face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. As soon as he went back into the TARDIS, I knew full well that basically, in order to save Poppy, etc., he's going to have to put all his regenerative energy into the TARDIS to stabilise some kind of time point, and that means he's going to regenerate. And that's kind of like from the point at which he said, this is my daughter, I could see that they've now written this whole thing to reach him to that regeneration. I could feel the rewrite as it was being done almost. Because you had the whole Susan cut out. She wasn't in it. I think she's the boss of the hotel. But you had very little Susan. She was going to be in this.
No, I don't think she was. I think she's set up for next season.
Yeah, but it really was telegraphed at that point. This is going to be, he's going to save this life, he's going to go in, he's going to chat, and he's going to regenerate.
It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, but that, I wouldn't have called it a rewrite, because that plot point came up in Wishworld.
Which is a point at which they knew he was going to be leaving and regenerating at the end of it.
Apparently not. Apparently, according to various sources, they've come in and refilmed that bit.
Don't know.
Doesn't feel
it's
like
very
it.
Ugly. Watching Unleashed, you never know any reshoots happened. And I don't know if for sure if they did or not.
Yeah.
But very much they were trying to imply that this is always planned. But I'm not sure if it was or not, because you can never trust Unleashed to tell you the full story.
Yeah. No, I have to say, that was pretty disappointing that there wasn't more stakes on him personally forcing the regeneration. It's just that he sort of pulled it out of himself like an X-Man or something, didn't he?
It was nice to see Jodie's doctor.
That was an interesting
point, though.
Right.
Which is why I still wonder how much of this is real and isn't.
She had a wig.
No, she didn't know what bioregeneration was.
Oh. No, should she?
No, it's before. It's
but it wasn't even
time.
A myth to her, because to the doctor he heard about it, but it was a myth. She didn't even go, isn't that mythical? She had not heard of it.
I don't know if you can draw that conclusion from that. I think she just thought, what are you talking about? The fact she didn't say, that's just a myth, doesn't mean she wasn't thinking that. I don't know.
But it was one of the best bits of the episode where Jodie suddenly turned up, because I wasn't expecting
that. That kind of left field that did.
I didn't see any rumours or leaks about her appearing, so that was...
No. Well, that's the advantage of filming on a closed set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deliberately in the console room.
Yeah, no, I really liked that. It was great to see her again.
Yeah. So at least it's not the other fella turning up again.
Yeah. And she hasn't changed a bit. Like, it's only been a few years.
Yeah.
But still.
Apparently it's a wig.
Yeah, it is apparently a wig, although I couldn't tell.
No, it's very good. Very well done. She was on form, wasn't she?
She was. Yeah, full of energy. And
I think that she never got a two doctors story, did she?
No.
So it was nice to see them both on.
I liked her last shot was her running away as she faded. She just faded away. She was pelting it as she faded away.
Yeah. And running towards the door.
Yeah.
Was she brought in just to remind everyone that the doctor can be female?
Probably, yeah. Mm. And just to give a bit of a boost to continuity.
He hasn't got an assistant
to bounce off.
Because recently it's always been someone's there with him to encourage him along the way, except for David Tennant's doctor. But
Capaldi didn't have anybody.
No, but in his mind he did. So they've always had the mind, but he's let his assistants go. They haven't died or whatever. Yeah. Basically, he knows they're all going on and happy with their life. So I think it's almost like that subconscious mind, that person he brings in, whether it was Rose or whoever.
I was a bit confused towards the end, though, because he suddenly went to see Joy to the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then sort of hovered out of the TARDIS.
At an angle.
Yeah.
During regeneration, he did actually hover a bit.
The bloody TARDIS up.
I think that's why they did it, wasn't it? They thought, we don't want to blow it up again. People have been moaning about that.
I wonder if we'll see that TARDIS console room again.
They could definitely harvest parts of it, just give it a smaller space, couldn't they? Cut it down a bit.
I was expecting it to just fade to him being gold. The flace go up.
Yeah.
All go gold.
Yeah. To be continued.
That's what I thought, yes.
There's various rumours on... I mean, because she isn't introducing Billy Piper as the Doctor.
No.
It's introducing Billy Piper. Yeah. So I was wondering if this is the third into the fourth, or this is a Romana-type thing where it's like, she is and isn't the Doctor because she's trying on a face, or is she the moment, or what is it? But I can understand why, because if it left it at him looking up, you wouldn't want to cast someone yet. Because it's going to be 12 to 18 months before they start filming.
We just don't know.
No, let's say it's going to come back.
For the sake of argument.
We're assuming it's coming back. Yeah. They're trying to make the point it's coming back because they put Billy Piper in there style. So let's say it's going to come back. It's going to be 12 to 18 months probably before they go back into set.
Maybe.
So unless they're going to start filming in 6-9 months' time, you go along to an actor and say, would you like to play the Doctor? Yes, done on the dotted line. Face goes up onto screen for 30 seconds. And what do they, they're now cast into this role they're not going to see for X amount of months. We don't know what else is going on in the background. At least Billy knows what she's walking into. She's known to the programme. And she also, if it's explained right, is probably aware, I'm coming in, I'm doing this one or two or three or whatever
could
it is seen.
Like Tenet.
And I'm going out again. I know this isn't a permanent... I'm signing my life away for another 3 years.
Rumours abound that some people are suggesting that the reason Shooty left when he did is because of the uncertainty. He didn't want that hanging over his career. Yeah. Had to be recalled at a moment's notice to Doctor Who when he wants to be getting on with his career. But then, same could be said for Billy Piper, but I don't know.
Perhaps he's more happy.
Yeah.
Because...
stage work, wherever.
No, no disrespect. They are at different points in their career. Billy Piper has a stable career. She's known. Shooty is not just starting out, but is on the rise.
He's definitely on the rise.
His star is on the ascendant.
And also, if not... I don't mean this in a nasty way. If she's a holding face... Then let's say we come back next episode, she comes back into the TARDIS, and even if she's going to do one episode, the chances are any job she takes between now and the next 18 months, she knows to write in there and say, I am going to have to disappear off for a week or fortnight to do filming. And it is going to be, the commitment is going to be for a week or a month, not for 3 years. And it's that kind of slight difference. It's that kind of slight difference in the commitment you're giving to a role, stepping into it like David, temporarily to do one or two scenes, to I'm now playing James Bond, I'm now playing the Doctor, I'm signing this contract.
As the Doctor, will she go back and see the 14th Doctor, that David Tennant Doctor on Earth?
We don't know she's the Doctor. This is it. What is she?
Well,
you know?
Is she Rose Tyler? Is she the Doctor?
Is she the moment? Is she the TARDIS?
Or Bad Wolf, yeah.
But that all just raised the question, what happened to the Doctor then?
They could have just sort of, instead of leaving it on the face, they could have panned away from the TARDIS with all the energy blasting off and left it that way.
But I think there was a desire to actually say, look, you know, it's going to continue. We're not back into a 19, whatever it was, 80, you know, when we last 89. Well, I'm thinking the one where we had the hiatus between Colleen coming back and... The first time it was cancelled.
First time we got Bonnie Langford, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was a cliffhanger of we're going to Blackpool, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which scares me.
Yeah. But talking of things left on slight cliffhangers, why was Zarani breaking the fourth wall?
Yeah, she did that a lot, didn't she? Yeah.
Not been explained.
No, and Billy did it as well. Billy did it right at the end. Mm. She looked straight into the camera.
Yeah. But I can put that down to her talking to herself.
Yeah.
In fact, it's down the barrel of the camera, just the camera's fault. But Mrs. Flood was very deliberately talking to
because there's been
somebody
a lot
of, who wasn't there.
A lot of fourth wall and reality breaking, because you had the Lux episode with the fans, didn't you?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So was she talking to them? Was she know about them? I wouldn't have thought so.
Why do I have a feeling when this is all over, we're going to go into the hotel, we're going to end up sitting there, and there's going to be a TV string, and you're going to have David Tennant's Doctor watching it, and it's all been a TV show? I have mixed feelings with this one. There was a lot of it I liked. There was a lot of it I didn't.
Mm.
I like science fiction, and this is starting... And I like when things go into the realm of science fantasy, but this is becoming science fantasy, not science fiction anymore.
It always has been science fantasy.
It has always been, but it's always also been science fiction, as in...
It has its feet in both camps.
But it's had its feet in science.
Yeah.
The science bit of the science fiction rather than the fantasy bit of science fiction.
You did have the big unit battle with the...
Oh, yeah, we skipped over that.
The bone beast.
Yeah.
and the captain's wheel.
Yes, I like that.
What exactly is a parallax gun? I know what parallax is. How does a gun work? Is it just from two different angles at the same time?
Maybe it's a polaxing gun and they've just mispronounced it.
Now, yes, rotates. The tower rotates.
That was
I like that.
It was stretching the bounds of reality a little bit, well, even more than we sort of depicted.
I must admit, I made the comment, and there's a few other people made the comment, I'm getting close to the point with the way things are going with the Mavity and everything else, that the motorbike is revved up and the shark is in the swimming pool.
Oh.
But it's... I really am starting to feel like we're getting close. Now, there are other people that said, it has jumped the shark.
Yes, I agree. But this show has jumped the shark so many times before.
I'm starting to feel a bit...
I'm really that impressed with the final episode of RTD Seasons. I think Yeah. He does great setups in the penultimate episodes, but rarely does he pull off the finale that well. Mm. It often feels like a bit of a rushed mess. I think this is a bit of a rushed mess. But it's sort of what I expect, and I don't mind too much. It's been a great season.
I've enjoyed most of this season.
I agree. There was a lot of wordy exposition in this episode, wasn't there?
And so many characters did nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Everybody and their dog was in the episode.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they had no reason to be.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Hold doors open.
Mm. Hold doors open.
Yeah.
Make a zero room which wasn't required. Drive a scooter into the top of a tower.
And in then the lift, do nothing. You go in, you're in the lift, you go straight up.
Yeah, they should have done more with the Mel Rani thing, shouldn't they? Maybe they instead of sending Ruby. I know she's one of the main companions now, but maybe...
I suppose we haven't spoken about it, but that explains why Mrs. Flood was dressing up as companions, because she had a bit of a fetish about it after Time of the Rani.
Could be.
That's the only reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think maybe that's part of it. There was a lot of characters, but a lot of them didn't have anything to do.
No, they were there. I mean, Rose suddenly brought back from nothingness once realities returned in the unit HQ, and then she did nothing.
No, she literally made one comment about the baby, didn't she? And then that was it.
Why was she even brought back from nothingness? Why didn't she already exist? Doesn't have to exist there.
Mm. Well, it's just because she was too different to what Conrad's world would accept.
Is it the Vlinks? Did that suddenly turn?
He was boxed off
in a crate or something. Yes, and he suddenly came back to do not much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm because we've had Susan in there, and there was often, and I think some, and I was a bit upset. You know, we got a setup that we got Susan. You know, you want to do something for her, and then
nothing happened.
So I suspect she's been set up to be the boss of the Time Hotel.
Yeah.
If it's not, then you know you better be doing something with her pretty darn good when she comes back, or you really have just sold out.
I do worry. It's a bit of a danger if there's going to be a significant gap of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Is Caroline Ford still going to be around, or at least well enough to return?
She maybe regenerates.
Well, yes, you can always do that, but maybe you can say, oh, well, I was calling you because I was about to regenerate for the first time and I didn't want to do it alone or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't, if it was the different actor, it wouldn't tug at the heartstrings of the classic fans, would it?
And
it
this might is where I feel that there's been setups for certain things like Susan rigging him back and all the rest of it, and then that dropped and disappeared, which is why I feel like the second half of that one was really rewritten and things were sacrificed for that rewrite.
They wouldn't have cut her out. They would have found a way to keep her in it if they had had her in the episode.
Even if it was that moment with Jodie, maybe they both turned up or something. Yeah. You know?
Depends on what her role was.
Yeah.
I get the thing is added to, maybe, which is why it was extra long.
Mm.
But I don't think much was cut out. I think some of it reworked, but I think anything as much was cut out as a result of potential changes to direction with Gatwa going. But I don't know. But did anybody else notice that the big seal door that opened, the other side of it looked like the big dartboard from Bullseye?
Yeah.
It's got a dual-use board there.
Yeah. I thought Bully was going to come out for a second.
One.
Yeah, I've got eternity down here. I'm just going to have a quick go with Barrows.
Oh, super smashing great.
Oh, and how old is Ernest Borgnine by now? Apparently he was born in 1917, so how old would he be if he's still alive?
Over 100.
Doing quite well.
Overall, I've enjoyed Lucky Day, I think, apart from the second half of this one. Lucky Day was the weakest story for me, I felt, over the whole series. It was a good story, but it was definitely... There's just things about the second half of this reality world one that I think a lot's going to depend on what happens next and, with the programme and all the rest
resolution.
Of it and the resolution to a lot of it.
Yeah.
It could be, that actually really was really good looking back on it, or it's going to be, okay, that's just a big cop-out.
Yeah. The Rani in this, she was only in the first half of the episode, probably.
Yeah.
And then she was swallowed.
Yeah. And Mrs. Flood doesn't really act like the Rani, as far as we can tell.
No, she's going to have to pick up her Rani game if she's coming back. But again, if she's not coming back for a couple of years,
you have to put her in context, because she didn't act like the Rani because she was subservient to the latest version of the Rani.
No, she acted like Angie Watts.
She did. Maybe she should have been eaten, and maybe they should have kept the actual Rani.
Maybe because she seems to be less of a threat, she's more likely to run, whereas the new Rani wouldn't have just...
Well, also the new Rani was the one standing in the middle of the room going, hello, I'm the Rani, you're going to take over the universe, you're going to... Yeah, Mrs. Flood standing at the sideline going, I'm not here, really.
Making ham sandwiches at one point.
Yes, that's the whole point. Slightly rebellion, making ham sandwiches. You know, it depends how much longer she would have taken that before she got fed up. Before also, the raniness of her reasserted itself.
And this is it. You don't know how much, obviously, a sidestepped, but how the Rani survived and became Mrs. Flood. So we don't know what's going on there. And that whole thing about two brain stems, so that's sort of slightly different from bioregeneration. It sounds like there
all Time Lords have two
brain stems. I think the two brain stems have been mentioned before.
Kind of like it's two totally split personalities, though, by the sounds of it.
I did like the time ring moment, just because it kind of completed the Rani's costume. Mm. She always had a big bulky bracelet in the classic series, didn't she?
So now the other Rani is now dead, maybe.
Potentially
been scoffed. Mrs. Flood's version of the Rani might reach her full potential, so to speak. It'd
be nice to see her properly play the Rani rather than Mrs. Flood. But we'll see what the future brings. I was hoping we'd have some kind of news about the future by now, but we don't. Obviously, there's a spin-off coming sometime, probably later this year.
Yeah, we saw a trailer for it, didn't we? Didn't reveal much other than the Sea Devils, the new design.
Was that just what female Sea Devils look like?
Yeah. Because was there two Sea Devils in the trailer? Was there her and another one?
I think another one had a mask a bit like the Silurians.
It looked like a Silurian mask.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did Karen leave us any feedback on her thoughts on...
She did. Should we listen to them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Or should we just delete them?
Well, seems that we've got kind of like mixed feelings. There's love.
Yeah.
I won't say hate, but...
Disappointment.
Yes, disappointment.
Hello, chaps. Sorry I can't be with you today. I'm canoeing down the Amazon as we speak.
See, told you.
Yeah. Went to the cinema with Real Keith, Adam and Scott to see the finale. And I loved every single minute of it. The only minor disappointment was that we didn't get to see more of Susan, but that's just a geeky thing I've got going. I don't think Billy Piper is the Doctor for the simple reason in the credits it just said something like "and introducing Billy Piper." Yes. All the others, it's "and introducing John Hurt as the Doctor," etc., etc. Didn't say she was the Doctor. Mm-hmm. I think the Doctor wanted to share his regeneration with the universe, which is we saw he did. And I tell you, no wonder the TARDIS is always beaten up when they regenerate inside her. But he was basically approached by something like the Moments, or it was the remnants of Bad Wolf from the heart of the TARDIS. I don't think she's the Doctor. I think she's just one of those characters who basically came to watch him regenerate. That's what I think anyway.
So where's he going?
I absolutely adored this season from beginning to end, and the finale was just a riot. It was so much fun. So good to see Jodie back again.
Yeah.
Even that was definitely a wig. Definitely a wig. And Shooty, oh, gonna miss you, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Heath said, when it gets to this point in a regeneration cycle, you always just want them to have one more season. And I'd like him to have five more seasons, but the guy is a star. He's going on to bigger, not necessarily better things, but his career is going to be fantastic to watch. Mm. So, an amazing season. Loved the Rani, both the Ranis. Mm. Wondering how she's going to come back. Obviously, Mrs. Flood has jaunted out so she could reappear. Being eaten by Omega, she's going to see as just a minor annoyance. She'll work it out somehow. We haven't seen the last of her in whatever regeneration. Unit, fantastic. There was just so many faces in this. Virata Setu, when Belinda was having doubts that she knew something was wrong, running out into the woods, that scream, it was heart-wrenching. And of course, the star of the show, Baby Poppy. The way they opened the door of the Zero Room stroke, oh, look, it's another Pandorica, and just had Belinda standing there and then you pan down. That was, she was so, so sweet. And I'm so glad that in some version of the universe, she got to live because she was amazing. The girl's hair is out of this world. It's fantastic. Watch Unleashed, if you haven't done already, with some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with her, ever so cute. Loved Mel's declaration, "I was a housewife," when they were all recalled to units. I could just go on and on and on like an ABBA song. So I'm just going to say, love this season from beginning to end. Thank you, Shooty, for being such a fantastic Doctor. Millie and V for being the best of companions, and I cannot wait to see what happens. But I repeat myself, I don't think Billy's the Doctor. Watch this space. Well, doodles.
I agree, I don't think Billy's the Doctor.
I think she is, because any other explanation is going to be really tough to pull off, but we'll see.
So, dear listener, you've heard our thoughts on this matter.
Yes.
Give us your thoughts upon this matter by emailing us at show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Right, as we're getting on, shall we rapidly move on to the enormous letter?
Oh, the enormous letter!
The enormous letter!
The enormous turnip.
Do we have to unfold it?
It's from Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hiya there, folks. Hearing how much you all seem to enjoy this season of Doctor Who makes me rather self-conscious that the majority of my commentary of it has been not as complimentary as yours.
Oh.
I'm so sorry that this round for the final two episodes, which are the final ones until we hear otherwise as to the fate of the show, or will also not be, to use a phrase from your motto, full of fun, frivolity and jollity.
Oh dear, oh well.
Okay.
Yep.
Certainly the production levels of the show is very high. Yes. Acting talent is wonderful. The show is nice and shiny to look at. I just wish the story itself held up.
Mm.
Buckle up if you thought my feedback the last podcast episode was long. This one is longer.
Oh.
It is actually 7 pages.
Mm. Oh, well, okay,
what?
From a high level, it looks fairly simple. I'm reviewing both episodes as one story here. The Rani is back. She wants to resurrect Omega to obtain Time Lord DNA in order to rebuild Gallifrey. Surely not the whole planet. And Time Lord Society. In order to do this, she's got a scheme where she's going to use the fact that the Doctor has awoken the Pantheon, find a child that can bring wishes to life, and then, as if the world is a giant rubber band stretched to its limit, twang it a few times with doubt so that it will eventually snap so that she can find Omega hidden in the Underverse.
Playing with her twanger.
She needs to make use of the Doctor and use his doubt to help with this twanging. I really tried to think of a better word here because a Time Lord or something, he'd be the most effective with it, perhaps. One of the personal headcanons that I've got about the show is that the Time Lords can jump forward and backward in time however they want. They still encounter each other in a single progressive timeline.
Generally.
I'm sure that this has been blown to bits in the novels, audio play and the like, but within the realm of the TV show and the sacred timeline, wait, that's Marvel, sorry, the one true timeline, this has generally been an unwritten rule because of how time actually works in the real world here folks like us live in.
Yes.
What I'm getting at here is that the Viney could not started this plan anywhere before the 14th Doctor opened the door to the Pantheon in the wild blue yonder.
Okay, yeah.
Right, so that's the setup. How was the execution of this? Absolutely messy, fast-moving, and very fraught with questions that were either unanswered or completely unsatisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Rani doesn't have a TARDIS, apparently. The Doctor has the only TARDIS in the universe. Instead, she has a time ring. We saw that the 4th Doctor with one of those, along with Sarah and Harry, at the end of Genesis of the Daleks, and appeared to be somewhat limited bit of Time Lord technology. Yet somehow the Rani was able to use this to get to specific points in time, as Mrs. Flood to be the neighbours of Ruby Sunday and Belinda Chandra, as well as heading back to Bavaria to pick up, I'm going to mangle this, baby Desiderium.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that, but somehow she managed to collect a bunch of Daft Punk type robots from the Harmony Station, as well as the Seekers to populate the Bone Palace with. Not just that, but she managed to pick up technology to give her that little flying scooter, as well as a transmat device. That's a lot of heavy lifting for that device.
Yes.
Baby Desiderium, there's a bunch of questions there too, such as how did the Rani know where to find him? How did she know how to use him for that matter? How did anyone automatically know how to use him since Ruby and the Doctor both knew? Perhaps holding him and being close enough was enough to somehow let people know, I suppose. Let's touch for a moment on how some members of the cast were totally underused for this story. Belinda, for most of the first episode, stuck at home being the good little wife and good little mother. and then once arrested really doesn't know what's happening. Then in the second episode, she's just, I can't leave my daughter. Yep. Then, hurrah, my daughter is safe. Whiplashing into, what daughter? Let's go to Neptune. And finally, I'm back to the daughter I was originally trying to get back to always, don't you remember? Mm. But I kept telling you about her. Aside from the fact that, no, you never did say anything or even implied about having a daughter, wasn't Varada Setu meant to be the companion here for this season? Didn't feel like it for this story. Mm-hmm. She was very much pushed to one side and Ruby given the heavy lifting. Mel. All Mel was there for was just to give a little exposition on the Rani and how she faced her before. That was it. She contributed nothing else. Mm-hmm. Rogue. Just there to tell the Doctor tables don't do that and find me. That's it. Nothing else. Who knows if the Doctor will ever at this point.
How did Rogue even do that? But yeah.
Rose. Donna's daughter. Other than some brief tech stuff with Rose, which could have been done by someone else, there was no point to her even being there. Susan. I blink and you miss it to pop up from one of the screens and that's it. Not even a line from Carol Ann Ford in this story. Mm. RTD's probably giggling madly that he made fans think Susan would be back for this story.
Yep.
In fact, I can totally imagine both the vast Toffee MN and RTD cackling madly whatever room they wrote the scripts in thinking, oh, I'm so clever, hee hee. This will make fans lose their mind and, oh, what a clever story I wrote. All these things that I can call back to. Honestly, Moffat did a far better job in the finals than RTD has recently. Yeah. You could go back and rewatch an episode to see something that was called back to by the final hiding in plain sight. I'd rather get the feeling that RTD tried to do that here, but actually that didn't hide anything.
Yeah.
Specifically the whole Poppy storyline. First, she's the Doctor and Belinda's daughter, who apparently came from Conrad's wish. This is tried to be explained by scraps of memory being used by the Doctor, seeing Poppy in Space Babies, and Belinda presumably seeing her in Lagos, except no one else saw her there. It was a mystery as to why she had been seen and only by Belinda.
Yes.
Also, why would Belinda see exactly the same child? Then all of this gets that bit retcon I mentioned earlier about Poppy now being the daughter of Belinda, always had, yet never mentioned to or even hinted to. If there had been breadcrumbs about this through the course of the season, then I could have accepted it. Yet there was none, and that's why I think this retconning is so sloppy. Mm-hmm. Stepping back slightly to before that point, we get the Doctor going off on his mission to fix the universe and restore one person. To be honest here, up until that point, which was pretty much ending up to be the 50-minute mark of the second episode, it looked like this was going to be a wonderful cliffhanger that might lead us into a third season with Shooty. Mm. From this point where he got back to the TARDIS and goes off to do that, the whole episode made an absolute hard turn tonally, and it felt like there was something else bolted on. There's been much speculation to what was going to happen to Shooty after this season, whether he'd stay or go. The way that back 20 minutes ended up felt like it was a hefty rewrite to handle a regeneration. Surely it would be wonderful to see a completely unexpected return of Jodie here. I miss her portrayal of the Doctor so much, and still feel she was never given enough to shine with.
Oh yeah.
Even this bit made me want more of her.
Yep, be finished.
Regeneration used to be something special, something rare, something we only got when it was time to say goodbye to one Doctor and hello to a new one.
Mm.
Yet recently it's felt like whenever there's a problem that needs a bunch of power to fix it, let's use regeneration. After all, now the Doctor is the timeless child, we have infinite amount of regeneration to play with. This Doctor used it to defeat the Lux, and now it's suddenly all of this power force to shift reality by one degree. It's now more magic get-out-of-plot-hole-free card than the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
Not just that, but stunt regenerations. While we were pleased to see Tennant back at the 14th, presumably the other guy, 15 referred to, 13 about, that had hallmarks of stunt casting, bringing a lead actor back that resonates with a large part of the fan base growing up in the 2005 revival, along with the returning showrunner, who a large number of people felt that it would help right the ship. We now have 15 regenerations into something that is wearing Billie Piper's appearance. I'm saying something because it's very deliberate for the show not to call her the Doctor. There was no announcement welcoming Billy into as the new Doctor from the official BBC channel, and the credit just says introducing Billy Piper without as the Doctor that every new Doctor has had since 2005 revival. Shenanigans are afoot most assuredly, yet we have no idea when, hopefully when, not if, we get the answers to that. Sigh. I'm sorry that this is turning into another long ranty post, and I'll start to finish up closing unanswered questions.
Okay.
Why did the Rani name the baby Satun Drag, Storm and Stress, this translates to? Why not just name him Desmerdarium then and there? What did the Rani wish for at the end of the scene in Bavaria? How did Rogue manage to contact the Doctor from the Hell Dimension? Yep. How did Anita's master key open doors in midair? That's pretty much went away from everything we understood about the Time Hotel setup when a door on the other side was needed. Why could we not leave the Vinx boxed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did Mel drive her scooter onto the unit bridge? Why could she not have just parked it before taking to the elevator? If Mel was a housewife, well, who was she married to? Yes. Not a question, but an idea of having a ship wheel in the unit bridge turn the top half of the building was just dumb. Sorry, I have to disagree there. Speaking of dumb, the fire trails that Shirley's wheelchair made was just so stupid.
That's the future.
How did the Doctor know that the Rani had that hover cycle? Why did taking the hover cycle through the chronic bream deactivate the threshold? Why was Ruby's memory different from everyone else's? Not even the Doctor seemed to know that. Who is the boss that Anita was referring to?
Indeed.
Finally, if now there is various changes to this world, given that everything has been reset from the Wish World, does this finally mean that Mavity is no longer a thing? I really hope so.
I doubt that.
Okay, I think that we'll do it. I've certainly got more things to say about this story that bothered me, but I'm done for now. I promise I'll try not to moan so much from the future masses. All the best, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
I think we're of a very similar mind.
Jay, I can answer all your questions, and I think we have done in this podcast.
Yeah, hard to disagree with most of his comments, but it's a lot of fun getting there.
I think the fiery wheelchair was a callback to fiery Bessie in Battlefield.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The future, huh?
Could be. You're right. I was thinking Back to the Future, but maybe they got it in Battlefield and Back to the Future. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was as he took off in Battlefield.
Yeah.
I suppose at least in one way the Rani has combined her DNA with Omega now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not clear if he can actually digest things in his current state.
Yeah, and that's stomach acid, the skin...
Yeah, it's fine. It was fine for what it was.
I think, speaking for both me and fake Keith, it was brilliant and I enjoyed every minute.
Good. Yeah. Now just what happens next?
Yeah.
I think the most important question that can be raised from the entire series is, who's got Doug Adu as their ringtone now?
No, I think the most important question from the entire series is, how do we get Doug Adu to be the British entry into next year's Eurovision Song Contest?
Definitely.
Do we have any more feedback?
I think not.
Ooh.
In which case... lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. Never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity. More news and reviews. More who, old and...
not necessarily new.
Old Dugadoo?
Old more Dugadoo, definitely, yes.
It's old and ancient.
So, until that...
D for Dugadoo!
Disastrous.
Dainty.
Diphtheria.
Delinquent.
Dysentery.
Dystopian.
Disgusting.
Doctor.
Dialogue. Comes.
Descending.
Discombobulating.
Dilettantly like.
Disgustingly towards us. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Scott saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Ta-ta.
You've been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 473, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Gene Ridler, Keith Dunn and Scott Fuller. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Never ends.
473.
Do you want a minute of silence?
Yes, for Dugadoo.
Yeah.
AI, just AI. Right now, just go away. I just want to go to Staggering Stories Share Drive News.
Yeah, I wonder what they'd do with the War of the Land and the Sea, whatever it's called. Will they do a Torchwood Children of Earth? It's five parts.
Be good.
Yeah, do it over in a week.
I'd like them to just, if it's good, I'd like them to let it run a little bit longer.
I don't know, I thought that...
Talk going.
Children of Earth, I thought was pretty amazing the way they did that.
It was. Yeah. But it meant you had your cake and you ate it really, really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're not going to have anything for like the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, as I say, that is one tenacious earworm. It really is.
Hermione. Sorry.
That's it. I now have a wee break coming.
This early.
Take glasses off because everything's blurred when I stand up.
Dugadoo's gone to your head.
Yeah.
Watch the toy store shelves this Christmas.
For a plushie.
Yes.
That's all anyone's going to get, everyone.
Yep. Well, how long did it take for Graham's adiposes?
They were pretty quick. But I think they were expected to be quite popular. I think Dugadoo slightly came under the radar.
I think it surprised them.
Yeah.
Because it's a very quick, short bit in a TV show.
Yeah, but now it's become an internet meme.
Goodness me. Just looking at Wishworld, the cast is huge.
Mm. Which website are you looking at?
Wikipedia. It's over 20 people listed.
Principal players.
Yeah.
No, that's way madness noise.
Tell me about it. Okay.
Oh, no quote.
No quote.
Didn't have a chance to look at one. I was reading.
Dagadoo.
Dugadoo, 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 dugadoo.
Hang on.
Dugadoo,
dugadoo.
Hey!
Dugadoo, dugadoo.
Hey!
Dugadoo, dugadoo. Oh, no. A horrible thought.
We're going to be cancelled. We're going to be cancelled.
A horrible thought has just come to me. Imagine Shatner singing it.
Dugadoo.
Dugadoo. Dugadoo.
Dugadoo. Dugadoo.
Do.
La 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 la. 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 La.
La.
When I first read the news earlier, it just said Peter David, and you'd obviously started writing it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh no.
Yes, I did for a moment. Yes, there was that quick moment where he's going, what happened since I left the office?
Yeah.